God's amazing grace has broke the chains and set me free. Amen. That is good news. Good message in that song. They've taken an old hymn and re-blended it and remade it. And it just has a whole new special meaning for us today. Ephesians chapter 6, back on that this evening. I don't know what that pop was, but it might pop again. Did it pop me off? I'm still good. Yeah. I didn't do that. I don't think so. But Ephesians chapter 6, we'll get back on that today. We took a break from our study of the armor of God for Mother's Day and had a big crowd last Sunday, and we're very grateful for that. Had a bunch of kids, and they helped pass out the roses to the ladies, and that was just pretty neat. I had to carefully instruct them, though, to not grab the thorns on the rose, the stem, hold it up near the top, and so they were very gently carrying the roses around, but we had a good time. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as ought to speak," says Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And the shield of faith is the part of the armor that we're talking about today. So before we get started, let's go back to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us understand, and also pray for the sound system. I don't know. Okay, Father, thank you for your word. We pray as we study your word concerning the shield of faith, that, Father, that you would guide us, that you would help us to not be distracted. Help us, dear God, to focus on your word. Not think about those things outside of here today, Lord, but focus on your word, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you'd help me to be your mouthpiece today. Help us to absorb and apply your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the piece of God's armor today, as I said, called the shield of faith. I like to hear lessons and sermons about faith. I like to preach about faith, because you and I would have a lot less problems with Satan and with other things, certainly less problems with life, if we would just exercise the faith that God has given us. But it's not faith alone that's important, because it's not going to do us any good to have faith in faith or faith in something else. It is who we are putting our faith in. To be victorious, we must have faith in the only one that's stronger than Satan and stronger than all of our life's problems, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. And so that's what the early church did, we read about in the book of Acts. If you study church history, you see that the church was born in persecution and bloodshed and martyrdom. When I study about the early church and I think about those things of how the church was born in persecution and bloodshed, it grieves me today for the viewpoint that we have about the church today. That early on, the start of the church was done with loss of life and great pains by those who started it. And it seems like today we have such a lackadaisical look about church that it's just not that important to us. And so there's my soapbox for this morning anyway. The Lord Jesus was crucified, and all of the apostles except John were killed for their faith. In the first century, the church suffered unspeakable persecution. The church today is so weak that if widespread persecution of churches happened in America, I think that most churches would disappear. They're just not that strong. I don't want the church that I belong to be a weak church, do you? I want to be a part of a strong church that'll be standing in the midst of turmoil and persecution if need be. We shouldn't be surprised that following Jesus might invite persecution. The Bible tells us that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." In other words, don't act like you're surprised that following Jesus would bring about persecution. That's exactly why that we need to take up the shield of faith, as our text says, to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. Have you ever had any fiery darts from Satan lobbed at you? I have, plenty of times. And so that's why we need the shield of faith. I want us to consider first the priority of the shield of faith. Verse 16 said that in addition to all, or above all, or most important of all, take up the shield of faith. All the rest of the armor will not be as effective if you don't take up the shield of faith. For instance, if you're going to put on the belt of truth, which is God's word, you have to use faith. You have to use your faith to absorb the word of God. If you're going to put on the breastplate of righteousness, in other words, to live the Christian life, you have to use faith. If you're going to put on the shoes of the gospel of peace that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, in other words, have God's peace in your heart, then you have to use faith. Do you see why the shield of faith is so important? It's very important. Faith is directly connected to all the other parts of the armor that we are studying about these few weeks. In the Old Testament, as an example, there was a man named Ahab who went to battle against the Assyrians, and he was dressed in armor mainly to disguise himself. The problem is he did not have his shield. One of the Assyrians shot an arrow at him just wildly into the air, and the arrow came down and it went between the joints of Ahab's armor, and he bled to death inside of the armor that was supposed to protect him. It's because his armor was not effective without his shield to protect the vulnerable areas. The same with Satan. Satan will find the cracks in your armor, the weak spots in your flesh, and he will lob an arrow at you and cause you to sin. Satan knows just where your weak spots are. He knows where you're not strong at, and he'll aim at those with those arrows at you. Let's also consider not only the priority of the shield of faith, but the use of it, the use of the shield of faith. Again, verse 16 tells us that the purpose of the shield is to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. The Apostle Paul's day, enemy soldiers would soak the ends of their arrows in poison. And so if an arrow hit you and didn't kill you that way, the poison would soon take hold and finish you. The Roman soldiers also would often wrap their arrows in cloth soaked with tar. They would light them on fire, and these arrows would stick and burn anything that they came in contact with, sometimes burning entire camps down. That reminded me of when I was a kid growing up. My mom and dad both worked. And so they left us. That's back when you could leave your kids at home and not have to worry about too much. But we were out on the farm as it is, and there wasn't anybody around anyway. So they weren't too worried. But my mom and dad, they saved for a long time, and they saved up to buy new kitchen cabinets. And so these guys were out there installing those cabinets. It was just me and my brother at home. We were outside playing. And I looked toward the front door, and smoke started coming out the front door. And it was propped open. And what had happened was that they forgot to turn the pilot light off of the range. And when they rolled that glue close to the range, it just jumped out and set all the countertops on fire, including what the spreader that the man was holding. Well, he flipped that out the back door, and it stuck on the ceiling of the carport and started burning. So it's the same thing I'm thinking about these tar-wrapped arrows. Luckily, they got it all put out pretty quick. After their spot on the carport's burned and the kitchen countertops are burned, the house is full of smoke and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lesson for you. Don't play with glue around an open flame, because that flame will jump out and get you. But anyway, that didn't have much to do with the sermon, just to entertain you a little bit and get your focus back on me and the Word, right? So most of the darts that Satan sends your way are going to be fiery darts, right? They're going to be fiery darts. And if you go about your life serving the Lord, like we all should serve the Lord and do what He tells us to do, then we can expect fiery darts sometimes, because Satan will lob those at us, and he'll use those to produce distress in our lives. He'll use those to produce depression and disappointment in your life. Once the initial thrust of the arrow is felt, the sting of the fire can go on for a long time sometimes, right? It just keeps going. But the shield of faith can effectively stop. That scared me too. The shield of faith can effectively stop, then extinguish Satan's arrows. So when you feel defeated in life, and some of us do sometimes, don't we? We feel defeated in life. We feel like, we wonder sometimes even what's the use of going on sometimes. And there's disappointments in life and losses in life. But our faith in God and His Word can help pull us through those times, right? It can. I want us also to consider the potential of the shield of faith. Some Christians will hear a message like this and they'll say, well, that's all fine and good. You know, the preacher, he's really kind of out of touch with reality. Because he sits up there and he stands up there and proclaims all these things. It just seems like it's so easy. And you know what? The preacher, he must not really have anything bad going on in his life. Because why else would someone be so pumped up about faith? And if you think that, that I don't have any issues, you better think again, right? It's just like you. I'm no different. I'm subject to those things. So the question is, does the Bible tell us to put on the shield of faith so that we can quench some of the fiery darts that Satan throws at us? Does it say that? Or does it say that the shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of Satan except those that are shot at us? No, it doesn't say that. It says that the shield of faith will quench all of the fiery darts that Satan can launch at us. But you have to use the shield. You have to have God's word that if you use the shield of faith, you'll be able to repel the attacks of Satan. You have his word that he will. What more do you need than God's word on anything, right? If we have his word that he's going to take care of us, then he's going to do it. Here's a word for you, though. Faith is something that you have to develop. You have to develop it through faithfulness in your Bible, through faithfulness in your prayers, and in your church attendance. You have to develop that. God's not going to just drop it in your lap when you need it. Or just the fact that you have trusted Christ as your Savior doesn't mean that that shield of faith is just going to be right there at arm's length for you to grab whenever you need it. You have to develop it. You have to develop faith. And it comes by studying God's Word and attending church regularly and all of these things. Here's a couple of the darts that Satan might shoot at you. We read about this all the way back in Genesis, because that's where he started this thing of dart throwing. First off, there's the dart of doubt that Satan might throw at you. Remember when Satan approached Eve in the garden? He tried to trap her by saying, "Did God really say that you could not eat of any tree in the garden except this one? Did God really say that? Did God really mean what he said? You sure he didn't mean that was just for Adam not to touch, but it's okay? Did he really say that you couldn't touch it?" So he shot a dart of doubt at Eve's heart to get her to question the integrity of God. He does that today, doesn't he? Well, it's okay to go ahead and do what you're doing. It's not really sin. Yeah, you heard the preacher say that it was. But you know, you've really got to decide for yourself. Did God really say that? Is this part of God's word? Is that true? And is this over here true and that's not? And so forth and so on. Get you to doubt. It all starts with just a grain of doubt, doesn't it? Just a grain of doubt. By the way, if you don't know what God's word says, then Satan will make you believe whatever the world throws at you. That's the problem with a lot of Christians today. They're buying into all this junk in the world, believing everything they hear, even over the word of their pastor or their Sunday school teacher, who have spent all week studying and preparing to present the truth of God's word. And they'll hear somebody on the outside out there say, but this is really the way it is and way it should be, and this is how you should feel about these sorts of things. And then make you doubt what God's word is really saying. Well, if it's our own fault if we don't get this word in here, then we're going to believe whatever crops up or believe whatever is easiest to believe out there. Dart of doubt. But there's also the dart of denial. Satan started having Eve doubt God, and then he led her to deny God. Eve told him that God said not to eat of that tree in the midst of the garden, because on the day that they would eat thereof, what does it say? They would surely die, right? Well, Satan says, you know what? Do you really believe that just eating of that tree is going to make you die? You really think God said that? Satan denied God's word, and he led Eve to deny God's word. God said it, but did he really? Is what Satan's message is. Well, then there's also the dart of deceit that we see here. Satan told Eve that the reason God did not want her to eat of the tree of knowledge is because then she would know good and evil, and she would be like God. Here's the truth, Eve. Here's really why that he didn't want you to eat of that tree, because if you do, then you'll have knowledge like he does. You'll become like him. That was partly true, but full of poison. By this, Satan deceived her into wanting this knowledge, and then she ate of it. It started with doubt. Did God really say? It continued with denial. You're not really going to die like God said. And it ended with deceit. Satan tricked her into wanting what God said she could not have, and she committed the first sin, right? Eve did not use the shield of faith, and Satan knew where to shoot the arrow. And the Bible's full of examples of men and women who held their faith in God in the face of attacks from Satan. Sometimes people were called by God to do what might sound like ridiculous things, but they stepped out in faith because they were sure it was God directing them. And they stepped out. God said it. It's good enough for me, so I'm going to do it. That's the message we need to hear today, isn't it? God said it. It's true. I believe he's going to take care of me if I'll obey him and just step out and do it. Stop sitting on the sidelines and acting like somebody else is going to do it when God told you to do it. Many of these people in the Bible, they felt the same pressures and stress that we feel. And I'm sure many of them had those same kinds of doubts thrown at them, cast at them by Satan. But what made them victorious was lifting up the shield of faith and say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to believe what this person tells me necessarily. I'm not going to believe that lie that I heard over there. I'm going to believe God, because God said it. He's given me his promise. I don't care what the circumstances look like, and I don't care what doubts Satan throws at me. This is God's word. I will trust it. Trust it. That's called the shield of faith. And so faith is believing God in the face of doubt. Faith is believing God in the face of denial. Faith is believing God when you've been deceived. Faith is standing up for God when all the world seems to be standing for somebody else, namely Satan. As they say, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it's going there because God's people are not standing up in faith and believing God. Again, God's not going to just drop the shield of faith in your lap. You're going to have to pick it up. First, we need to get straight of who the object of our faith is. You're placing your faith in Christ, not someone else, and not in yourself. Your faith comes from Christ. He is the one that you're placing your faith in and believing. The more you get to know Christ, the more secure that you'll feel by picking up the shield of faith. Get to know Jesus, right? Get to know Jesus and your faith will grow. Secondly, we need to get serious about making our faith stronger. You develop physical strength by exercise. You develop spiritual strength by exercising your faith. You don't grow by what you know, but by taking what you know and applying that truth to your life. In other words, it's one thing to know it. It's one thing to apply it and use it to help us grow. If you don't exercise your faith by applying that truth to your life, you're not going to grow. You're not going to mature. You're not going to have the shield of faith that you need when the attacks come. Do you want to build a strong shield of faith? That's the question this morning. And put Satan in his place. There's more of a need now, today, right now, than ever. Is that not correct? Find something that God's told you to do and do it. Start building that shield of defense. Then we'll have what we need to win the battle, because the battle is getting fierce. Do you know what I mean? It sure is, isn't it? It's fierce. And we can't stick our heads in the sand and act like nothing's happening, can we? We need the shield of faith, that part of the armor that God has promised us He will give us when we stand and walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to apply Your Word to our lives, to help us grow and develop the faith that we need to stand for You in our everyday life, Lord. Help us to stand strong for Jesus. We give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.